Fellow students, join the dark side and listen to the live web stream of Brooklyn College Radio at www.brooklyncollegeradio.org. Your home for music, sports, and talk radio. Resistance is futile.
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, and of course, podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. This is episode 20 of the Geek Speak podcast, episode 20, and I absolutely cannot believe that we are already up to episode 20 of Geek Speak. It feels like I just started this thing about yesterday, and now here I am with episode 20, and that is amazing. It really is. I mean, I got to thank everybody for listening to this over the past 20 episodes, watching the show evolve the way it has, and I feel a lot more confident in what I do now than I did with that episode one. When I do listen to it and I see the nerves in my voice, I'm like, oh my God, what a disaster. But I'm glad to see that the show has grown over the past 20 episodes, and it will continue to grow as time goes on here on Geek Speak, and I'm sure my listeners will agree. At least I hope they will. Anyway, on today's show, we got plenty of stuff to grow about here and stuff to shrink about. We got a... Wow, I just realized how sexual that sounded. Anyway, let me get on here. And apologies, I am getting over a cold, so I probably do not sound like my best. I probably sound like I have a frog in my throat, and I probably will this entire broadcast. But bear with me here. Hopefully by next week, I'll be back in tip-top shape. But my nose is stuffed, and my throat has a frog. So, ribbit, ribbit, let's get into the news. Main news coming out of today, and once again, compliments of my good buddy David Price. We got a new virus on the net. How is it going to affect you? Well, it could affect you a lot if you still have Symantec, because it could very well get a backdoor into your Windows XP. And we'll discuss that on today's show. Also, Marvel Comics has released the official information on what is going to lead up to their Civil War event. And I have a lot of opinions on that. And not a lot of them are positive. I'm sure other people will disagree with me, but I'm looking at a clone here. And I'm not just talking about Spider-Man's clone back from the 90s. We'll get into that as this show evolves here. Also, on today's show, we got the Blade television show starting up soon. And who will be playing that? Well, former rapper Onyx. Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Is this quite possibly the worst idea you've ever heard of? I don't know, but I'll probably end up getting into that as much as possible. And the other show, I was complaining about Firefly not having a season 2. Well, now there is a independent production group trying its hardest to make that happen. But is there any hope at all for an independent group to get anything like this to occur? Well, the time will tell here. And finally, I am going to discuss how comic book stores get return business. What's a good thing to do? What's a bad thing to do? And what is a middle of the road thing to do? And what one of my local comic book shops did for me on my birthday this past Saturday was definitely a positive. And I am going to discuss that in earnest. But let's start things off with the main technology news here. And this is coming out of TechRepublic.com. And this brand new internet worm might be causing people some hassle as of, oh, look at the clock, today. It's supposed to launch on, no, okay, my mistake. It'll be launching tomorrow on February 3rd. Today is February 2nd. So the trigger date for the worm is February 3rd. And the worm has been dubbed the Kama Sutra worm for now. And why is it named that? Well, because of all of the terrible, terrible images. And by terrible, I mean terribly sexual images that this email offers the people who open it. And it is in positions that you would probably never want your wife to be in, or anybody you know for that matter, because that's just nasty. But here's a story in detail here. A couple of very strange security items crossed my desk over the past week. And by the way, this is John McCormick out of TechRepublic.com once again. However, I do think readers need to know about them. First, a story on eWeek.com, which also popped up in a few other locations, warns about a major Windows security worm threat that has various names, including Blackworm, Blackmall, Nixum, and My Wife. Symantec has dubbed it Blackmall, and the latest iteration is blackmall.e, discovered on January 17th. News.com has labeled it the Kama Sutra worm, as it promises explicit images to users unsavvy enough to open the email attachment. Although Symantec and most other antivirus vendors have rated this a low-level threat, it is widespread and has potential. If a user triggers it on an unprotected system, it can delete user files as well as kill security tools by removing them from the Windows registry. I just don't know how dangerous this new threat is. However, I suspect it won't amount to much. It already is in the virus signature database of most antivirus programs. Regardless, I suggest bookmarking the Symantec removal tool just in case, and make sure you've updated your antivirus signature file. Here's the view from the Secure Team blog, which placed the number of infected systems at more than 700,000. That is a lot, almost a week ago. In addition, you can check out the webpage the SANS Internet Storm Center has devoted to Blackworm. This resource lists the file type the virus will overwrite with an error message, including .doc.xls, .mde, .mdb, .ppt, .pdf, .ziff, and more. The trigger date for the worm is February 3rd. So thank you very much, John McCormick, and thank you very much, David Price, for bringing this to my attention here. And any sort of internet worm, even if it's a low-grade worm, is a threat. Okay, because there are going to be people out there, the casual internet surfer, as it were, who are just going to surf the net at their own pace and really are not going to think about things like this. I mean, not everybody is internet savvy enough to have a virus scanner. I mean, they should, but there are the casual people out there who probably haven't even heard of one. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have grandparents that turned to me first before actually going onto the internet, so I was able to make sure that they were nice and secure with their searching and their surfing before they got on there. But there are plenty of people out there who will just open up any email they get. And then again, there's the pervs. And I had to mention that. There are the pervs out there who, when given a choice between looking at naked pictures of a random girl and not looking at naked pictures of a random girl, they will choose the first item. And when they open it up, they are treated to an internet worm, which some might say is pretty much like getting a venereal disease for your computer. Sort of ironic if you think about it. But what are people going to do? Well, just stay protected. You know, I mean, the Symantec removal tool, see, another thing also, a removal tool from Symantec is a good thing. Using Symantec's virus scanner, not too good of a good thing. So, I myself have used some of their removal tools in the past, and most of their removal tools are, they do what they're supposed to do. You know, if they're supposed to remove one thing, that's all they're going to remove. They're not going to go in there and, you know, like ruin your registry or put any extra files in there that aren't supposed to be in there. They're just going to do the job. But most of your virus scanners have already detected this, and you're not even going to need a removal tool. Like Antivir, for example. Antivir just upgraded itself to its latest version, which is 7.0, I believe. And that one, it's taken a bit of time for me to get used to the new system. I like the old one a bit better. The old one was a bit more streamlined. This one's trying to look for more of a professional look, and in the process made things a bit slower, but it certainly does update itself regularly. In fact, most virus scanners will do so without you even asking it to. It'll just automatically update, which is a good thing to do. If you're not going to be up on it and you're not going to update it yourself, let the virus scanner do it for you. AVG has an automatic update function, that much I know. Antivir certainly has it. Even stuff like Symantec and other virus scanners do have that feature. But again, when given a choice between Symantec and a free one, I go with a free one any day of the week. But be careful out there, folks. The internet is a jungle. All right, there might not be any trees, there might not be any lions, but there are certainly going to be hazards that you're going to have to avoid. And this new worm is just another thing to add to the table. And please, do not let it catch you off guard. All right? Let's give the tech guys a bit of a break here and not have you call up technical service trying to ask them to save your computer. All right? Just update your virus scanner. Please? Thanks. All right, before I get on to my next topic, I have to read this joke. I totally have to. Last night, I was talking to a buddy of mine, Marvin John, who I've mentioned before on the podcast, who does the Red Shift podcast, or will be doing it as of a couple of weeks from now. But anyway, we were talking, and he brought up this joke, and I have to read it for you. All right, so here we go. There's this commercial for a woman's hygiene product called Refresh, spelled R-E-P-H-R-E-S-H, and what are people's obsessions with spelling things wrong? Seriously, I've always wondered that over the years. Like, you know, like intake spelled E-N-T-A-K or something like that, you know? It's just stupid to me, but what are you going to do? And a girl takes it when her pH levels are altered. And they list when after your period, refresh. After intercourse, refresh. After douching, refresh. And me, being the dork I am, immediately thought, oh, press F5 to refresh. Ha! Ha 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 ha. How funny. There's a little geek moment for you. I'm sure a lot of people out there get the joke, and those of you who don't, turn to another geek, and he'll probably explain it to you. But I've always found that amusing. Ever since I heard it last night, I have been laughing about it. After your period, refresh. After intercourse, refresh. After douching, refresh. And after F5, you refresh. There you go. Thank you, Marvin, for the joke. And I'm sorry if my delivery for that was not exactly the best, but it was the best I can muster. Anyway, I got to talk about this as one of my main things on the show, so here we go. Even if it is something that I am not exactly looking forward to, I got to talk about it. Press release came out of Comic Book Resources this week. And this is going to be much more of a comic book leaning episode than the past couple of weeks have been, because a lot of news has happened in comics over the week. But here is the official press release out of Marvel Comics, courtesy of Comic Book Resources. Spidey heads to Civil War with Amazing Spider-Man number 529. After the life-changing events of The Other, Spider-Man has become a new man, and Tony Stark has decided to mark the occasion by giving Peter Parker a brand new costume in Amazing Spider-Man number 529. And the costume, by the way, it is red with a gold trim, and the spider that used to be just on the center of his chest now takes over the entire front of the costume, basically. And he's got these little, like, spider claw type things. I guess they're supposed to be spider legs, but they really don't look like them. And those are all over the place there. And I don't know, like certain poses, the costume looks good. Other poses, it looks terrible. I myself am a traditionalist and don't like seeing him outside of the typical blue and red. But then again, comic book people are known for not liking change. And I really don't like this change too much. I loved that costume he wore back in the 90s. Back when Ben Reilly was in the Spider-Man suit. I really enjoyed that. I would have loved to see something similar to that here, but instead we get a brand new take on the Spider-Man costume, and I guess some people will like it, some people won't. I myself, if anything, my main problem with it is the color scheme. I mean, just get a better color scheme, and I probably would have liked it. Just stick with the typical blue and red, or go with the old-fashioned black and white. Just do something like that. I don't know. Anyway, executive editor Tom Brevoort, says, Amazing Spider-Man number 529 brings a three-issue arc that will justifiably be cover blurbed as part of the Road to Civil War. Sound familiar to anybody? As Tony Stark and his new protege, Peter Parker, journey to Washington to debate superhuman legislation in the wake of decimation. And for readers who aren't as into parliamentary procedure, there'll also be a smackdown between Spidey in his spiffy new costume and a villain from Iron Man's past. You know what that sounds like, true believer? That's right, folks, a civil war is forming on the horizon, and the road to war starts right here in Amazing Spider-Man number 529. All right, you know what? Marvel Comics quite possibly has the cheesiest press releases ever. Right, they are writing to like four-year-olds, I swear to God. These are the introductions you would see on Saturday morning cartoons back in the 80s, you know? And the same people who wrote those must write these because the language has not changed, the delivery has not changed. It's the exact same thing you would see back then. It's old. It really is. Start writing like professionals and stop writing like, you have to see this. This is totally awesome. Oh my God, Spider-Man is amazing and Road to Civil War is going to be fantastic. I scared myself with that voice there. Anyway, right away, I got to draw the line here with it being called Road to Civil War. I'm sure most people remember the Road to Infinite Crisis and the Prelude to Infinite Crisis and all that. This is Marvel's answer to Infinite Crisis. No matter which way they slice it, that is what's going on here. And I've had other people disagree with me, thinking that this is just Marvel's own thing, and it has nothing to do with Infinite Crisis. But I have to think back to the days of Identity Disc, where Marvel intentionally changed the name of a book just to try and get Identity Crisis's popularity off of their tails a bit. And Identity Disc was one of the worst things they ever put out, as Comic Geek Speak mentions over and over again as they try to hawk their copy of it to somebody who will take it. Nobody will. Nobody will. Anyway, I mean, you've got the Marvel event in space, which is Annihilation, and that one's basically their Ranthanagar War, which Marvel Comics, I guess, is trying to break away from DC here and try and steal their thunder with the whole space thing, because that's what Infinite Crisis in itself is, one giant space event. Then you've got the split between the heroes, which is, you know, one side of Marvel on one end, one side of Marvel on the other end, and that's also happening in Infinite Crisis with the heroes split as to which way they are going to go. And then you've got the rest of the bunch over in Planet Hulk. We've got an entire planet full of angry Hulks from the looks of things here. And that is reminding me a bit of OMAC Project, where you're going to have all these people trying to invade. And that's what it sounds like, too. It looks like these guys are going to try and invade Earth. And that's what happened in the OMAC Project. Marvel, get a bit creative here, okay? It might be a good idea to try and not do your own version of an event. Just do something different for a change, you know? Actually, who needs an event? Just put out good books, okay? Even if they're self-contained, even if they're not leaking into other things, you'll be the other side of the coin. I mean, DC's books are not self-contained. You have to read one book in order to read another. With Marvel Comics, however, they like to have one series and then the next series is happening without anything else happening. You know, that's the way Marvel's worked for years. It's been a success for them to try and change things now, to try and have this giant set of events that's all going to be related to each other, might be a big mistake. Especially since DC did it first. Too many people are going to be seeing this as a clone, even if it doesn't turn out to be one. And mind you, I am still going to read this Marvel event to see what it turns out to be, because I'm curious. I am very curious to see if it is going to be very different than Infinite Crisis. I hope it is. You know, I hope all of a sudden a second Marvel Earth doesn't show up, and that would be crazy. You know, like if the Ultimate Universe all of a sudden becomes Earth 1 and regular becomes Earth 2, but they'll never do that. Thank God. Marvel's just in a weird way right now. They really are. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know which direction to go. And they don't know whether to take the direction that previous companies have taken or whether to just go their own way. Go your own way. I think Marvel needs to go their own way. I really do. But the Marvel brass does not. So let this event happen. Let Road to Civil War happen. And maybe Civil War itself will ooh and ah me more than I think it will. But right now, I'm not really leaning towards that. I'm an Infinite Crisis guy at heart. It's been basically everything I wanted it to be and more. And Marvel, not really. Not for a while now. There have been a couple of Marvel books that have been great. New Avengers has been really surprising me, as has Young Avengers. Amazing Spider-Man, no. JMS has not been good for the past couple of years now, in my opinion. And yet he's still there. I mean, his supreme power is great, I gotta tell you. But not his Amazing Spider-Man, really. You got a lot of problems there, Marvel. Fix them, please. Fix those holes, give us a good story, give us some good books, and try to save yourself. Because we do not want another bankruptcy situation on our hands. I doubt that would happen with so many of the successful movies. And by the way, speaking of successful movies, you know that this costume's not sticking because Spider-Man 3 is coming out soon. All right? This is not going to be here more than a couple of months because you are never going to see a gold and red Spider-Man costume make a good movie for Spider-Man. It's not going to happen. Armored Spidey in the movies? No way. All right, it was bad enough when you had Power Ranger mask Green Goblin running around. But for Spider-Man, he's blue and red. That's the way it works. Or black and white if you're going to go the Venom route. And speaking of movies as well, I'll have some Blade to talk about after this lovely interlude. So this would be story number 2 that was brought to me courtesy of David Price. And once again, thank you, David, for making my life so much easier, especially this week when I've been bedridden. Not exactly bedridden the past couple of days, but on Sunday, I was terrible. And then Monday, I decided not to come into school. And that was probably the best decision I probably could have made because now I am feeling much, much better. And hopefully I will stay that way in the future. But anyway, you got Blade coming right now. Now, there were talks of a Blade animated series for a while out of MTV, but I haven't really heard much about that, and I doubt it'll actually end up happening now that Blade has sort of lost its popularity a bit after that third movie with Jessica Biel and all that crazy stuff. I mean, the Blade character was playing second fiddle to characters that were not even in the other movies. I mean, that's usually a problem, and it was a problem. But now here we are with the Blade television show rearing its head, and this will be coming to Spike TV very, very soon. And here is the report out of Yahoo News. Spike TV has sunk its teeth into Blade, a series based on the Marvel Entertainment superhero. Spike TV has ordered a total of 13 hours, including the previously announced 2-hour pilot slash original movie, with a premiere date set for June. The pickup marks the first scripted series for the cable network. Blade, a half-man, half-vampire who fights a shadowy underworld of vampires that want to destroy the human race, was depicted by Wesley Snipes in a feature film trilogy. Spike TV's version stars Kirk Sticky Jones in the leading role, with Nelson Lee, Jill Wagner, Neil Jackson, and Jessica Gower rounding out the cast. Kirk Sticky Jones. I'm going to say that again. Kirk Sticky Jones. Who wants to have the nickname of Sticky in their lifetime? Seriously, I mean, it's just so icky, you know? And formerly known as Sticky Fingers, and I think he should really just stick to Kirk Jones. Seriously. He's a Brooklyn-born guy. So, he's a Brooklyn, New York dude out of Brooklyn, New York, duh, and was born in April 1970. And his previous roles here, he was in House of the Dead 2, Dead Aim. He was in Karma, Confessions, and Holy, or that's actually in post-production now, so he's going to be releasing that soon in 2006. He was in an episode of CSI Miami. He did The Shield. He was Kern Little for a while there, from 2002 until 2004. He was in Leprechaun, Back to the Hood. God, that's frightening. Next Friday. And not too many big roles outside of that. He was in Dead Presidents, if that means anything. New York Undercover, 413 Hope Street. I mean, the list goes on and on here, and he was even in LAX in 2002. But not really the type of big name you'd want to see in a company's first big production. And Spike TV has never put together a television show before, as we made clear. And they go with Sticky Fingers. Interesting. Blade is a great character, okay? It's hard to do Blade right, and the movies did him right. Even in the comics, he never really had too much of a following. And, I mean, he did have a decent following, but most of his books got canceled after about 100 issues or so, and that's usually what happened over at Marvel Comics. And that's why the comic never really caught on, and yet it was perfect for the movies. And Wesley Snipes played him great. He was very upset with the way it happened in the third movie, and I can't blame him. And he actually almost sued the company. In fact, he actually did indeed sue the film company for the way he was portrayed in that, because it just was not the character he had been playing in the past. But this is what they made him do. And now, Kirk Jones will be doing it. And I'm going to actually look up a picture of him right now just to see if he looks anything like him. And I mean, I guess he has the build for it. I mean, he certainly doesn't look too terrible, but I'll be looking more at the acting than anything else. This is obviously a guy who has not been acting for very long, and even though he has had roles in the past, none of them have been leading roles. Now he'll be leading a major Marvel Comics production with Spike TV. Spike likes to get that urban man type thing going, which is good for them. Haven't really caught on to it too much. G4 is trying to lean towards the Spike side of things now. And I mean, I guess it's been successful for them. So I guess they're not too doubtful that this will work for them. But I am. I really am. Because, like I mentioned, it's hard to do Blade right. They're going to have to do Blade right here. They're going to have to capture what Wesley Snipes had going in those movies and get it perfectly in order for this to be a success. Successes are hard to find in television. They're hard to find in movies. They're hard to find anywhere, even in comics, especially in comics. And if this does not work, well, any credibility the Blade comic had, any credibility it had gained, is going to go out the window. And that's going to be a major problem for Marvel Comics. Because here's Marvel Comics trying to keep its franchise alive past the films. It's tough to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. But they're giving it a shot. And Spike's giving it a shot. And more power to them. Giving things a shot is what happens in the business. Because if you don't give things a shot, how are you ever going to know that anything other than things that have already been a success are going to work? And while Blade was successful in the films, they've never tried it on TV before. Let's see what happens here. I wouldn't be too surprised if it does turn out to be a success. I'd also not be too surprised if it didn't, because this is new. Everybody thought that Emily's Reasons Why Not was going to work for ABC, because you've got a great actress in Heather Graham there. Yeah, wow, everybody likes looking at her. And it died after an episode. Oops. And sci-fi's hard to do also. Everybody thought that Global Frequency was going to be great for Warren Ellis. And WB had picked it up, and it was going to be perfect. It was going to be fantastic, and it never got past the pilot. Oops. And that one was supposed to be good, too. But it just never got going. So who knows what's going to happen with Blade. I hope he doesn't suck. And sorry for the blatant vampire reference there, but I had to. Trying out some new music this week as I just got a hold of the entire soundtrack to Cromartie High School, because I love that show and I love the music to it as well. So happen to get a track off of that. So yeah, those of you who listen to the show regularly, could you guess that I'm a Firefly fan? Seriously, from all the ways that I talk about Firefly, anybody who does not know that I'm a Joss Whedon fan and that I'm a Serenity fan and that I'm a Firefly fan probably have not been listening to my episodes. Well, I would love a season two, as would plenty of other people. And now there is a production group that's trying to make it happen. But it's going to take a lot, and I mean a lot, for that to become a success. And for it to even get off the ground. And here is the news out of Sci-Fi Wire. And I got this off of Dig.com. Thank you very much, Dig, for digging the story and allowing me to find out about it. And here is the story. Will Firefly Season 2 fly? A spokesman for Joss Whedon, creator of Firefly and its spin-off movie Serenity, told Sci-Fi Wire that Whedon hasn't heard of Ace Underhill, an entrepreneur who said he is trying to acquire the rights to the sci-fi TV franchise for purposes of mounting a second season to be distributed in alternative media. And by alternative media, he means purchasable episodes off iTunes, straight to DVD stuff, and also, I believe through a donation plan where you'll pay a certain amount and you'll get the season, which is a very interesting way of going about things. Joss really doesn't know anything about the guy, and I don't really think he has a comment, Whedon's spokesperson said in response to questions about Underhill's efforts. For his part, Underhill told Sci-Fi Wire that he has contacted Whedon's representatives about starting up a new season of Firefly, which the Fox broadcast network canceled after a single season in 2003, but hadn't spoken with Whedon directly. Whedon previously told USA Today that he still has hopes to tell more stories set in Serenity's futuristic universe, though Firefly, in its current incarnation, is dead. He later told Empire Online that he remains open to doing another TV series. In response, Underhill said in an interview, if he contacts me and says, hey, we're not interested in Firefly anymore, or I'm not interested in Firefly anymore, then I will abandon the project, and essentially it's over at that point. I'm not looking to create a cheap knockoff of the series without Joss's input. Thank you very much for saying that. So that's not going to happen. If he's not going to be involved, then there is no project, there's no point. And I agree with this profusely, because this is Joss Whedon's show. Without Joss Whedon, it would not be Joss Whedon's show. I mean, he has a very distinct feel. And to just copy that and give it a shot is just not going to be successful. You have to actually get the real thing. And getting Joss to help, or at least be some part of it, I'd love for him to direct it again, is the way to get him to be a part of it. And Underhill's the type of guy that you can tell certainly has promise. I mean, he's got great ideas, but actually getting this from Fox is going to be really tough. It really is. Fox does not like giving things up that they might still be able to get money off of. And Firefly is one of those things. I mean, come on. Dear God, Futurama's coming back, which I love. And I'm very happy that it is, but nobody thought it was coming back. But Fox never got rid of it. They never got rid of the rights to Futurama, and because of that, they are making direct-to-DVD movies. And Underhill wants to set up a service that people will be able to view it on their computer, on their iPod, on direct-to-DVD sent to their house, or on demand through their cable or satellite operator. So that would be pay-per-view type shows. And also, right away, I'm thinking, how much are these people going to have to pay for an hour show in order to make it worthwhile? Because you can get movies now for like $2.99 off pay-per-view. So it's going to have to be like $1.99 or 99 cents in order to make it worthwhile to people. And yet again, also, how much money is it going to take to get this going? I mean, they have not contacted, have not heard anything back from Nathan Fillion, who is the captain of the Serenity. And they have heard back from particular members of the cast, but they will not mention who yet. So, I don't know. This does seem a bit fishy to me. I mean, I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to be the guy dancing down the streets when Firefly comes back, but I am not putting my hopes up yet, because I think it's still going to be a couple of years until something like this happens. Firefly is a great show. No question about that. I'm not doubting that. But it's going to take a lot to get this back. A lot more than Underhill seems to be offering here. I mean, also, I know the internet's a great place, and I know that vidcasts and podcasts are huge these days, and I mean, iTunes Music Store, they're huge, they're great. It's helped The Office tenfold to have stuff off the iTunes Music Store, but to just have something off the iTunes Music Store, that's it, just one thing, without any other medium, without having it on television to back it up, the vidcasts are free, so you don't have to worry about that. But for a television show to suddenly go to just being an internet show, it's going to be tough. The Critic tried it once upon a time. The Critic produced Flash animated episodes after it was canceled on Shockwave back in the day. And it was good stuff, but they were really short. They were like maybe 2 minutes long or 3 minutes long, as opposed to the full 30-minute episodes of The Critic. But they're going to be trying to produce real full episodes of Firefly here. And that takes a lot. A lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of frustration, and a full commitment from Joss Whedon in order for this to happen. And I don't know if he's going to get that. I'd love to see it happen, but I think it might just be a pipe dream for now. I mean, Browncoats, rally up. Let them know that people will actually pay attention and buy this stuff if it were to come out, but there's going to have to be a lot of us to go out there and buy it. And I don't know how many people we'll be able to get. I don't know if it'll be worthwhile. I don't know if it'll be profitable. But I'd love to see more Firefly. I'd love to see this happen. But maybe there's a better proposal out there. I don't know. Just have to wait and see, folks. As always, time dictates all. We'll be right back. By the way, a correction from last week's show. As I was talking about the Star Trek stuff, I mentioned the word vignettes, and that's not how you pronounce it at all. Thank you very much, Mario, who was on my show once upon a time on the first showcase spotlight I did on comics. He sent me a PM on the Comic Geek Speak message boards to let me know it's pronounced vignettes. I believe that's how you get it right. It's not vignettes, it's vignettes, or vignettes, or something along those lines. So thank you very much, Mario, for the correction. And now to talk about what my local place, or one of them, that is. This is Cosmic Comics in Manhattan. It's actually on Broadway, or right off of Broadway, on 23rd Street in Manhattan. And it's a great place, it really is. It's on the second floor. Underneath, there's like this deli, and it's got a great amount of space there. You can tell it's like an old-fashioned brownstone apartment that was converted, and it was converted incredibly well. It's a clean, fresh-looking place with a whole bunch of independent books and a great selection of trade paperbacks and manga. Anything you could possibly want out of a store, you'll get there. And they did something really, really nice for me on my birthday. This past Saturday was my birthday, turned 22. And I went there for some shopping. Figured, you know, why not pick up some stuff? And I remembered that the first time I'd ever gone to Cosmic happened to be on my birthday. And I wasn't expecting anything. But when they found that it was my birthday, they actually ended up giving me a free membership to the store, which I still have there. So, you know, for every $100 spent at Cosmic Comics, you get $20 to spend on anything you want in the store. And they gave me this membership for free, which usually costs $20, because it happened to be my birthday. And that brought me back. It brought me shopping there on a regular basis, which is a great thing. It gave them a new customer. And now this time around, I walked in there. They gave me a free trade paperback. How about that? They gave me a free trade paperback. I got Day of Vengeance, which is the one Prelude to Infinite Crisis miniseries I did not read. So now I'll get to read that. And I know for certain I'm going to go back to this store. And this is something that most comic book shops have to remember. In order to get return business, you have to actually talk to the customer. That's a good thing. You know, don't just ring up the books and say thank you very much and leave. Strike up some sort of conversation with the customer. Get their interest. You know, let them know that you care about their business and you care about what they're buying as well. You know, suggest things, you know, give them some friendly suggestions here and there. Just let them know that you care. Or at least make it seem like you do. And you're going to get more customers that way. And this is a great way to make it feel like they care. You know, it's your birthday, you're getting something free. That's nice. It's a great feeling. You feel respected. And I certainly do at this point. Other places I've gone to as well, like Lem's place, Golden Eagle Comics in Pennsylvania, where Comic Geek Speak did the 100th show, he offered 20% off to everybody in the store that day. Whether they were a regular member or not, as long as you were there for Comic Geek Speak show, you got 20% off. And 20% adds up. I got myself Sandman Volume 2 because I'm about halfway through the first trade of that, and I know already that I am definitely going to need the next one in the series because, wow, Neil Gaiman is amazing, period. Also ended up with Dead Girl Number 1, the brand new Peter Milligan series that is following Dead Girl of the Ecstatics clan. Formerly X-Force, that ended up Ecstatics, that ended up canceled and mostly dead. But Dead Girl is one of the few characters that's left. And Spider-Woman Origins Number 2, which had come out that week. And both Dead Girl and Spider-Woman Origins were comics that I did not pick up at my local place, but Lem's Place happened to have it, and that's why I got them. So yay for that. I spent about like $20 there on what would have been about $26, which is a nice thing to have. Bulletproof Comics, my local place. If you're a member, automatic 20% off. And also, it also deals with DVDs and stuff like that. No tax on DVDs or video games when you purchase them as a member. These are great ways to hook you in, because return business is what comic book stores thrive upon. Okay, if you do not get that return business, your store is probably not going to be there too long. A not so good way to get return business is to overcharge. Okay, because I have seen this in the past. I have seen brand spanking new books, okay? Brand new books just out of the box, okay? Brand new Wednesday books for $3.50 once upon a time. And this was before all books were $2.99 too. They had certain books that they just overpriced because they knew that people would buy them. And the name of the store escapes me, but it was in downtown Brooklyn. That much I remember. And it was not there long. I'll guarantee you that. Because this place was shady. And before I knew it, the store was gone, so it's not even there anymore, so it can even be out of my memory. But you can't, like, specialize like that. I mean, I know a place is trying to make business, but you're going to make more business charging the same amount that it's supposed to be charged on the cover as opposed to, like, the Canadian amount. That's nuts. That's crazy. Another bad way to get business is to understock. Because if you know a book's going to be huge, order it. You know, there have been times when I have walked into my local place and Captain America sold out. And that's a well-selling book. So you know what I do? And this is a walk thing for me, but I walk right down the street. Okay, there's a little schlocky-looking grocery store right down the street that happens to sell comics, and I get weekly comics in. A small selection, but I can almost always find what's sold out at my local place there. I have to pay regular price and not have to worry about the 20% there, but it's still a way to get them. And it's a nice little bonus there. But not everybody has that chance. Most people will just turn to online, which I do regularly, to find things they can't find anywhere else. Fallen Angel. I can only get that in Cosmic. I can't get that at my regular place. That's a problem for me, because I love Fallen Angel. I love Peter David. And I've only been able to find it at Midtown Comics and Cosmic Comics. Bulletproof just will not put it in. And that's another thing also. Get some independent books, okay? I know that it's a tricky business venture to, you know, get books that you're not quite sure people are going to catch on to. But independent comics are not always a bad thing, you know? Most people think independent comics and they think, oh, that's bad quality. No, that just means it's just not DC or Marvel. You know, I've myself, when I was a kid, I thought independent comics were, you know, less quality, but as I've gotten older, some of my favorite books are independent comics. I mean, I have at home right now, I believe it's called Girls. The guys who are currently doing the art on the Spider-Woman Origins series, the Luna Brothers, do this comic. And I happened to pick that up recently, and it's really, really good stuff. It's an independent book. Girls Volume 1, the trade paperback, came out in November. Girls Number 10 just came out in February. Spider-Woman Origins Number 3 comes out February 15th. And I found out about Girls and got into it and loved it. Very interesting book. Who's it by? Image, which is not exactly the smallest independent book. It's still an independent, okay? Don't shy away from the independents. Stuff like Dark Horse, IDW, Devil's Due. They put out quality stuff. So they're certainly worth a shot. And I guess I'll have to say, last but not least, whatever you do, don't just treat the comic book fan like a comic book fan, you know? Treat them like you know what they're talking about. Right? Because I've gone into stores. In fact, there was this store right down the street from me once upon a time that started out looking like it was going to be a comic shop. And then every time you'd walk in there, all they'd be doing is playing magic. That was the entire store, basically. It was really weird. and they'd have comic books on a side, and you'd ask them, when's the latest issue of Avengers coming out? And they'd be like, I don't know. That's really helpful. Thanks. They never got any new comics in. They just had the same comics just sitting there. And you could tell that they basically just put the comics up there thinking, hey, these guys are geeks. Geeks like comics. That'll work. But those same comics sat there and never got sold because they were like 4 months old. But they never got new ones in. Okay? You got to do certain specific things to get comic book fans to go to your store. Okay? Treat them like human beings. Give them some nice things every now and then. Give them the shiny. And before you know it, you'll have them eating out of your hands. That has been an Ian Levenstein production. It's wind-up time here on Geek Speak, where I switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things. And, of course, since it's happening on Sunday, I will talk about the Super Bowl. As I mentioned it last week and gave my pick, which I stick by, of the Seattle Seahawks, I'm thinking now, I'm not nearly as enthusiastic about the Super Bowl that I thought I was going to be. I mean, it's the Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know? Not exactly the most interesting teams out there, and this media week has been dull, okay? Same old stuff, not much going on, not much controversy or anything. You know, you like to see at least some heat coming into the Super Bowl, and everything's been really dull. You know, I've been more focused upon the New York Rangers than I have been the Super Bowl this week. I mean, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, and I'm going to enjoy watching it, but give me something to hook me in beforehand, you know? Keep me anticipated. And right now, my thoughts are drifting. Drifting towards greener pastures. Thinking to myself, hey, maybe those Rangers are going to make it into the Stanley Cup. I'm thinking to myself, wow, those Knicks really, really suck. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, those Knicks really, really suck. All right, I'll stop mentioning the Knicks now. But football hasn't really been on my mind lately. And it's a shame. Because almost every Super Bowl, that's when I get into it the most. And I don't know whether the media has just been less of a dead-on force type of thing than they usually have. And I hope that made sense. I mean, usually the media goes in there, you know, chomps blazing and tries to get people to say things that will, you know, be quotable. Like, my team is going to kick their sorry ass like you would not believe this upcoming Sunday. And my mother would be able to beat this team. And I think that man is a rapist. Or something like that, you know? But not much of that this year. I mean, you've got a couple of players here and there saying things like, you know, we're definitely going to win. I'll guarantee victory. And the guarantees are, come on, they're getting old. I mean, everybody guarantees everything. I guarantee that this episode will end in about 3 minutes. There's my guarantee. It's going to happen. It's totally going to happen. Nobody's going to challenge me on that. And if you're on a team, you're going to guarantee that your team's going to win. What are you going to say? I think the other team's going to win? No, come on. It never happens. Never happens, especially this close to the end of the season. You know, you need to have your determination and your stride going into the Super Bowl. Both of these teams definitely have that, but my mind is wandering, okay? Let's have this game happen already, all right? I'm getting bored. And that does not happen very easily. But it's happening to me. All right? The casual football fan wants the Super Bowl now. I'll be done with this show in a little while. Can we get things started? Here's the wind-up. Here's the pitch. Every single Monday from 3 to 4 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You can hear myself, Joey Maggs, Jason Green, David, the ghost of Michael Hornstein, the ghost of Abraham Lincoln, and the ghost of Terminator 3 here on the Sporting Goods The email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. It is a brand new month, so if you can vote over at Podcast Alley, that would be wonderful. There is a link on the speakgeekspeak.com homepage. And, of course, the forums are located at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. I apologize once again for myself sounding like I am breathing through a bag today and that my voice sounds like this, but that is what happens when you have a cold. Hopefully the cold will be out of my system by next week and I'll be back to normal. But we will be back to normal with episode 21 of GeekSpeak. So until next week, when GeekSpeak gets old enough to drink, I will see you then. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. And I will see you next time, folks. Ian Levinstein, take care. Ready? Blah, 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 blah. Updated your antivirus signature firm. What's a signature firm? Legislation. Take the direction that previous countries. DC is a country now. Human waste. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits. 100 issues a show. Or show. 100 issues. Can't say the word issues. Lem's Place. Golden Eagle. Choke on my own spit. I found that about women. Where I switch things over from the sports set. No, that's not what happened. As I choke on my own spit. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.